Place ourselves in the presence of God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O God of the universe, you are here. Let's recognize your goodness even now as we prepare to enter into the meditations of the day. We're here. Let us be here totally. And we may shut out the world and be shut in totally with you. Give us an openness to hear your voice, not the voice of anyone else, that we may have the abundant life which you have prepared for us from the foundation of the world to encounter today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good. I pray you've slept well, got some rest. You've already begun, some of you, your first prayer periods already today, right? That's good. That's good. Hopefully, the Mass has been good for us, and we're going in the right direction. Just a couple of notes so that we make sure. Am I speaking loud enough, by the way? Like I said, I'm very quiet by nature. Very quiet by nature. Unless I have to be otherwise. Which I prefer not to be. Just a couple of housekeeping things. It would make our Mass time flow more freely if we make sure that we have somebody who's assigned to do the lecturing prior to. I don't know if that's been done, and it's been secretly communicated through winks and nods and secret handshakes or whatever. But it's already out there? Awesome. So it's already taken care of. And so we'll do them. It would be nice if we could do them from the book there. If you'd rather not, that doesn't matter to me. But you could already have the physical red little book that's right over there on the side already with you, so that you don't have to do anything. Just come forward, proclaim, and put it in a place where Father can easily grasp it from there. Maybe on that first bank where nobody's sitting. Good. So as we enter into this moment of prayer, there are a few points to begin with. The first thing that we would need to look at is to remember that in this day, that our Lord is calling us to a particular releasing, a particular letting go of all our other tendencies, so we can really engage in what our Lord is actually calling us to do. Continuing our meditation on the principal foundation, which is where we always have to go back to each and every day, each and every prayer period, so that it becomes second nature to us within our prayer, is to recognize how to let go of those things which are not of God in this moment. I'm on the wrong one. I'm trying to find it. Okay. Let's see. Am I on the right page where I'm talking about freedom, attachment, disordered tendencies? Okay, good. Seems like it's something we covered yesterday. But that's why I'm confused. So when we enter into this particular meditation, today, as we're focused on the reality of sin, sin itself, how it entered into the world, then how we ourselves have engaged in sin and disordered attachments within our own lives, and then finally see what the end of that sin is. That's the arc of where we're headed for the day, to see all the destructiveness, all those things which have separated us as humanity from God, then as our own selves from God, and then as well what the ultimate end of that is. One of the things that can be great to be able to really allow yourself to focus upon, particularly the causes of sin, can be to recognize, first and foremost, the perfection which God created in everything, where everything had its right order and attachment. Everything was completely ordered to God in the beginning, because God does everything well. And then to move from that, to place yourself in that beatitude, and then to see what it is that happened to be able to cause that disorder to enter in, first through Eve and then Adam, and sharing in that very same moment. To allow yourself, particularly when you're painting the scene, and I know as we talked in spiritual direction yesterday, sometimes we have a difficulty with that, of actually entering into that movement. When we paint the scene, the thing that makes it helpful is not coming up with a great overarching, making sure we got all the colors filled in of our meditation, but to get the general look of it, and then to walk into it and pay more attention, not to the colors or to the figures that are there, but to let our whole senses be aroused. When you're entering into that pristine garden, what does it smell like? Is it humid or is it dry? When you walk upon the grass, are you wearing socks or shoes? What does that feel like on the bottom of your feet? In there, when you begin to really brush up against some of the foliage that there, how does it feel upon your arms and senses like that? And maybe to open yourself up to see what that actually is saying within you. Like we talked about in our direction times, it's not so much important the contents, but rather the emotional content of what's going on there, not the theological content that we really like, but what is it doing within me? And to pay attention to the intensity of those emotions. And then after the prayer period, to be able to write those down, because that's more what God is speaking to you. He wants to speak to you through your emotions during this retreat, less than just your intellect in that way, which is where most of us are most comfortable. But the danger is there in the emotional state. So pull away from that. As we go through that, I'll let you read through most of this. They said I didn't need to spend much time on it. Do I need to? No. It's all written. Let's enter into it. And you've done, in fact, this is the very same movement before. But when we enter into the actual nature of sin itself, the grace that we're really looking for is to have that knowledge of the gravity of sin so that you can really have that horror within yourself of all that is your own personal sin, and to recognize the love and mercy of God which he has spared you as the consequences of sin. It's important within this particular meditation to let our Lord guide what it is that the gravity of sin, for some of us that can be more intense than others, for others of us maybe not as intense, but the reality of the nature of sin is not to be confused and to be lost in totally how damnable I am at this point in the meditation, but to have that first look in it, to recognize where this is eventually going to lead for us. As we really get into it, you ask the question toward the end of your meditation to say, in Christ, in my life, what have I actually done for him as he had to do for me? How he defeated all of my sin? What movement have I made to make a recompense to the Lord for this? What in this moment am I doing for the Lord to make a recompense for the way in which I wounded him through my engagement in sin? And to finally to, what things are still lacking and what I still need to do. So to look at the past, look at the present, and then to endeavor toward what my life ought to be outside of this during these moments. It's so important, not only during our formal moments of meditation that we're entering into our four prayer periods, to engage in this, but even as you're at table, say, okay, God, here I am. I selected the almond butter today. Just because I don't know what that is. And that sounds really great. So you're here, God. I'm here, God. And the almond butter is here. Okay. If you have something to say to me as I'm experiencing this almond butter, I totally want to see it. Totally want to be ready for it. And in fact, the things that, this is a side, I'm not going through the things here, but the things that should actually, that often will be more profound in your spiritual experience on the retreat, entering into this retreat, are less actually what happens during your formal prayer periods, but really what happens when you leave them. When you're walking through the, when you're walking back between here and there, when you're doing your moment of exercise, getting out and breathing, when you're there sitting in your room, or when you're there encountering particular animals that come by and greet you. The Lord speaks through those moments more to us, because the Lord wants to catch us off guard. Your guard and my guard is completely up when we're praying formally, saying this is how it's supposed to do, this is what I'm supposed to engage in, these are the words I'm supposed to read. So we're there and we're trying to have control over it. But when we're actually open to the presence of God as we're walking with him, it's then that we can be totally transformed by God. Because as our present pontiff, when he first became pope, he spoke about this clearly in his opening homily. I was there for it. But he said, do not be afraid to be surprised by Jesus. And the Lord does surprising things to us when we just recognize that he's there. When he can catch us off guard and then thereby slip in the one thing that we need to know. I think the basics of the meditation are there for you. But I can't emphasize enough how important it is to really allow yourself, particularly for those of you who aren't being directed by me, so I think in all of our meetings we talked about this very same thing, to make sure that when you're engaging in prayer in these moments, that you're really focused on the intensity of those emotions that are going on there, where they're happening, and then to return back to them during that final bit of prayer that we have there. To return back to the graces, not to seek to find new wells of prayer, but to enter into those same places that that our Lord has already begun working on you, and say, well, what did that mean when this emotion hit there? Oh, God, I don't get that, but that really hit me hard. So what are you saying in this moment, and what is that emotionally charged thing doing here? And then when you enter into those graces on that second or third pass, then you'll really get into what the Lord is actually trying to do with yourselves. And as a final note, I didn't mention this yesterday, which we should have. During retreat, hopefully you're already doing this, but you're really good focused people. And so your movements are always, what can I do for others? They're probably people which you came into this retreat saying, they said, oh, you're going to go on a retreat. Pray for me about this. Now's not the time for that. Now's not the time for that. You came away with the Lord, and he wanted you. And so that you know that whatever those issues are, those people who asked you to pray for them, those concerns that you have there, that's what the Mass is being offered for every day, for whatever those intentions are. It's the holy sacrifice of the Mass, not because there's a particularly good priest celebrating it, but because it's God who's doing it. Is far more effective than any of your individual prayers could ever be for him. And so all those things have already been placed upon the altar. All those things are already dipped within the chalice of his precious blood. God's going to take care of them. Let our Lord speak to you and let him focus on you as you seek to focus on him during this time. So if we can have that agreement, trust me in this. Maybe as it says in John 14, Jesus says, you have faith in God, let faith also in me. Just as you have faith in Christ, pretty sure St. Paul would say, I have the Spirit of God in this. So our Lord is going to take care of you. We'll leave you to your prayer periods now. Those of you who are going to be in a direction with me, you know your times. You know when you're supposed to be there. We'll look forward to it. And in case you're worried about Fallon in any way, that she's not able to be here, we've taken the liberty of recording all these sessions, and so she'll be able to listen to them subsequent in some audio file that we'll be able to do so for the Mass, recording the homily. That's why you'll see my phone with me. And as well during these individual sessions as well. So all is well, all is well. Okay, good. Let's close in prayer and put ourselves more deeply in the presence of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, Father, Lord, creator of all that is good, you established primordial order so the world could be in the state of grace. Sin entered into the world first through the rebellion of the angels, and then through our first parents, who took their sight off of you. We, those poor banished children of Eve, have done likewise by our own engagement in sin, the end of which deserves eternal separation from you. We ask, O Lord, that as we enter into this particular experience of all that is wrong in the universe, in the world, in humanity, and in our own individual souls, that you help us to dive into the nature of what it means to let go of that which is not you. That we may hold all the more firmly to the power of your cross and receive it now upon us, here, always and forever. Glory be unto the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace. Everybody's confused on this. I'll make sure that it's a little bit clear. Because there's more people who have questions on it. Okay. So, right there, freedom, on freedom, attachment, and other disordered tendencies. Disordered tendencies. Okay. I thought I was the only one who this was unclear to. Okay. Yeah, no. Yeah. So that's.
Is there another sheet or is this just in
the car? Yeah. So there's that, and then it goes over to the next page. It says. From this it follows. And you'll go on, what is the nature of sin? Then it has the picture of Jesus crucified. And then it concludes with a meditation on your own sins. And then did I already give you one that was on hell? You're supposed to, you should end with a should end with period four, hell. I didn't bring that one with me. But, so it should go into hell. And then we'll give you a conference in the whatever time it is that we're supposed to do that. We'll talk about the first week again, with the differences between consolation and desolation, and all those things that you go over in the first section of the rules of discernment. Yes, that's correct. 5 p.m. conference.
Are you open to hearing confessions?
I would be. Are we familiar with how that's done? Intending to be really short. Lindsay's out of courage. Okay. Would you like to know a little bit about a general confession? You don't have to be here for this if you don't want to. Mr. Recording. Listen. Okay. So a general confession. What is a general confession? In reality? Okay, so this might be harmful to some of you in some way. A general confession is typically something that one does. So let's use the extreme example. One time in one's life. One time in one's life is something that one does, the general confession. One will do it before there's a particular moment of great election, great decision that needs to be made. Not small or important decisions, but great decisions. Sometimes one will do one when they have a particular director with which they're going to be going through in a long-term direction, just to empty their soul before the director. And then the other one, which is more likely, for you who are seeking God in a particular way, in a strong way, that you do it often once every decade-ish, you know, a situation like that. So if you've done a general confession before, when you do a second general confession, one does not go into great detail over all the sins that they've done in their lives, but rather one focuses on sins that they probably didn't bring up in a previous general confession, so it's new things that I've come to understand, going over the nature of my own sin, or things which still wound. So I have a wound from a particular sin at a particular time in my life that now is still giving me traumatic movements, or like it's hindering my prayer. And so I bring that to my second general confession, and then I bring those particular things up. It's not something that we do. It's not something that we do getting into granular detail over things. And it's very important, as in all confessions, by the way, that one not go into grave detail when it comes to sins of the sixth commandment. That one keeps that one for their own protection, but also for the protection of the particular confessor which they have there, to make sure that that's not done in granular detail of necessity. Only as much as is necessary to get the whole of the sin projected and the engagement of the soul within it. When we give things, it's not a movement of scrupulosity. Not a movement of scrupulosity where I have to get everything in the exact enumeration, but rather, as all confession is, it's revealing something in the presence of a God who's not a bean counter, who's not a tax collector, who's not an IRS agent, who's there waiting to ding us, because that's not God. And if that's your image of God, that's something to bring up in direction. That is, it's a really serious thing that souls need to be set free from. But rather, it's a desnuding. What word do we use like that? Denudation? Is that a word that you use? Okay. That's John the Cross. So it's in a mature understanding of it. It's getting naked. It's getting naked before God, and naked before His mercy, and letting Him cover you with His garment, covering you with His mercy, covering you with His love. So the image that would be taken from that would be from Ezekiel, where it talks about found that little child covered in blood, cleaned it up, took him for himself, planted the child in the ground. So that's the movement. From that one who was rejected, that one who was covered in sin, undesirable totally, and then God takes and loves, washes you, cleans you, and plants you. As that part of the meditation where I was actually being pretty serious and spiritual in the letter, from Ephesians, being rooted and grounded in love. Being rooted and grounded in love. Okay. Then your spiritual, your general confession. Also, well, there was another thing I was going to say, but apparently I forgot it, and so it must not be important. So to make sure that you're not being scrupulous over it. But then, oh, the method of doing it. So one, if one is going to make a general confession, one is to, there are many ways of going about it. I find the best way to go about a general confession is beginning periods of one's life chronologically. You can do it categorically. These are the sins that I've been involved with. But I think it's, maybe it's just me that I find it easier to go chronologically through your life. These are my sins of my real young youth. These are the sins of my middle school ages. These are the sins of my high school and college ages. These are the sins of when I entered into my 20s. This is when I entered into my 30s. This is when I turned 40 and beyond. Those are things that those are things that can be helpful. Or when I became married, or you know, situations like that, changes that happen in one's life, and not to have to address things in particular if you brought them up before, saying, "Oh, this continued into this. This continued into that." And that should be a good general outline, going off the top of my head, at least for a general confession. So if it falls into a category, you would find benefit of doing something like that. Obviously, our time is relatively limited, but my time is your time, so that's also true. It's also true. So you should probably communicate that to me in some sort of way. I'm not real good at smoke signals, but that's fine. So you're not necessarily breaking silence when you talk to the priest. So, good. Is there further things that we didn't cover yesterday that we probably should have covered? That way we can not have a particular need of Q&A or things like that.
I have a clarifying question. So the last meditation is the meditation on hell today?
Yes.
Is that the one we're all doing the holy hour?
What are you used to? What has happened in the past? I don't want to change your retreat.
It doesn't matter.
Is holy hour a prayer period for you, or is that just extra?
I was recommended, like, either you can use it as a prayer period or extra.
Okay. So that's up to you. That's up to you, with the way in which you do it. That's how it was for us. That it was when we did the 30-day, it was extra. It was a free play hour. got to go to, oftentimes, that's where we'd go to the greatest hits. The day, or of what God was doing in our soul. So you can use it that way, or you can use it otherwise. What's important is whatever it is that you're doing, then you speak about that with your particular director, and then come to an understanding of that's what it is that you're going to do, and then you stick to it. That's the most important thing. Hold to it. For most of us, maybe it's a good idea to stick to 45-minute holy hours, because God speaks. God can speak really quickly. To you, and it's good to have the rests outside of prayer where God can really encounter your soul. If there's nothing else, good. If you didn't get sufficient rest so far, take rest today. Really, really important to take rest today so you can have benefit the rest of the retreat. And if your particular director allows you, then you can begin to engage in even late night holy hours, if that's what it is, but go over that with your director before you do it. Good. The quickest way to holiness and spiritual perfection is, as Saint Francis de Sales says, is to voluntarily place oneself under the obedience to another. Okay. So trust your director.